Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hear ye, hear ye. You are listening to an old-timey podcast. I'm Norman Caruso.
And I want to forgive you, and I want to forget you. Kristen Caruso.
You're not talking about me, are you?
No, I am sharing iconic quotes from reality TV stars. Norm,
come on,
get with it.
Well, speaking of iconic, today we are going to continue to debunk the 2015 History Channel show, Hunting Hitler.
I don't know. I've heard it's all very correct.
Holy shit. Where's my drink?
What do you mean?
I need my wild strawberry.
Oh my God. He can't podcast without his wild strawberry crystal light. Hashtag not sponsored. Hashtag please sponsor us. Hashtag is crystal light even still a thing? I mean, we buy it. Everyone, Norman is running frantically around the house looking for his cup of crystal light. I don't know why he's so frantic. We're not being timed. I mean, this is not an Olympic event. Go find your crystal light. But boy, he is working. He's going to come up to this studio huffing and puffing. Oh, there he is.
Whew. Do we need to take that again? Or
no, we don't. We got to leave it in so that the people know that this man really cannot podcast without his wild strawberry crystal light.
I'm not worth a thing without my wild strawberry crystal light. That's the truth, for real, for real.
Yeah, Norm? You seem a little out of breath.
I'm good now. Well, I was panicking. I had to look in six different spots.
I am curious as to why you were so panicked and why you ran so fast when it's not like we've got a crew here waiting for us. It's you and me and the drinking bird, which sadly, you know, I don't think he's alive.
No, he's gone. Look at him go.
Yeah, but he's not.
It looks like he's peeing again, though.
Okay, but he's not alive is what I'm saying. He's not like, look at the time.
He's real to me, damn it. You ever seen that video of that guy? It's like a old wrestler is like giving a speech at like a high school gymnasium. And
There's
this like dude in the audience and, you know, they're doing like a Q&A.
Uh-huh.
And they give the mic to this guy, and he's like, I just want to thank you for all your years of wrestling, and I know people say it's fake, but it's real to me, damn it.
You have made me watch that. Now that you mention it, I have watched that against my will.
Yeah.
Good for that man.
Yeah, so the drinking bird, real to me, damn it.
Okay, very good. Norm, I've actually got something to say.
What's that?
Well, you see, last week, as you know, we posted photos of ourselves on social media wearing our tinfoil hats.
Yeah.
The results are in. People all agree your tinfoil hat looks very phallic. No one thinks that's a handle in any way.
Well, the reason is because they can't actually use the hat. If they could use it, they could see how functional that handle is.
Uh-huh. I don't think you're fooling anyone with this. Anyway, my whole point in bringing it up was, you know, we posted the pictures. People shared photos of themselves wearing their tinfoil hats using the hashtag old-timey conspiracy.
Yep.
Keep those photos coming in, folks, because, you know, we're going to be wearing our tinfoil hats for this episode.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And we are going to reward some lucky tinfoil hat wearer with some stickers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let me just say, my aunt and uncle, Aunt Denise, Uncle Tom, they were some of the first to submit photos.
And they looked good.
They looked great.
Looked good.
But Norm, do we want this contest to be besmirched with nepotism? The accusations, my God.
Could be a huge scandal.
It would be the biggest scandal.
No, we've gotten some good ones on Instagram too.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to say, you can submit them kind of wherever. We'll find them, you know.
dark web.
Yeah, on all those dark websites.
In an AOL chat room, just a random one, just throw in a photo of yourself.
We're tracking every single website you're visiting, so post it wherever. Just use the hashtag.
But my whole reason for bringing this up was, you know, people were being really sweet. They were making comments, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what I would love to do?
What's that?
I would love to slide into every single person's DMs and write them a little message. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time. So I'm going to share the message here that I would have loved to individually message everyone.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Yeah, it is very sweet. Yeah. There's no ulterior motive here. It's just really
sweet. Doesn't seem like it at all.
It's just, you know, kind of, it's kind of like a good friend from high school reaches out of the blue and says, hey, girly, what's going on?
Ooh, sounds like
so
a
here we
pyramid
go.
Scheme introduction.
What? No, you're mistaken.
I'll keep an open mind.
Hey, hon. Thanks for liking my post. I actually have this amazing business opportunity, and there are still some spots available. So, of course, I thought of you.
Ooh.
You can just head over to patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast and become a pig butter investor.
Oh, what does that mean?
Well, this is your opportunity to become your own boss and also empower women somehow.
Incredible.
It is incredible.
I've always wanted to empower women and be my own boss.
Well, as a pig butter investor, you get instant access to all of our bonus episodes, and you get a card with our autographs, plus stickers, you get a monthly live stream, and you get early ad-free video episodes of an old-timey podcast.
Holy fish paste.
Your what? Your life will change for the better. You'll be up to your eyeballs in fish paste, apparently. So go ahead and hit me up at patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast if you're interested in this amazing business opportunity. Okay, bye, girly.
Wow. Is this a limited time offer?
Yeah, super limited time.
So you better get over there.
And I'm only reaching out to you with this opportunity because I've noticed that you're like super, you super care about your fitness and your family. And you just want to make some extra money without having to do a lot of work.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering how the hell will giving you money on Patreon mean more money for me? Well, shut up about it, okay?
Listen, according to the National Butter Institute, pig butter is going to explode in 2026. So get in while
you
can. You
want to get in right now,
yes.
Okay? You don't want to be a couple years from now going, dang, I wish I would have taken them up on the offer, but now there are no spots available.
Those eggheads at NBI, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, because like people are trying to get in on Beachbody right now, but they can't because they should have gotten involved in like 2014.
It's
when
too
they
crowded
had a
now.
Yeah.
So you got to get into the pig butter.
I think it's actually done now.
Oh, no. That's too bad. Now you should really get into pig butter.
There you go. That's the plug.
Great job, Kristen.
Thank you. Everyone, join our downline.
Okay. Are you ready to learn more about Hitler escaping to Argentina and how it's definitely real and it happened?
Norm, I'm actually really sad that this series is coming to an end.
Who says it's coming to an end?
You have said it to me multiple times that this is our last episode on this. Are you lying to me?
Perhaps,
do I not have
perhaps
to?
Perhaps I'm doing an Agatha Christie twist.
Oh.
Hashtag the new bonus episode is about the disappearance of Agatha Christie.
Yeah. Did you all know that Agatha Christie, when her husband started cheating on her with a younger woman, she was like, goodbye, for 11 days, and the whole world searched for her, and it was a whole big thing?
Mm-hmm.
Sign up at the $5 level on our Patreon.
Very, very interesting bonus episode, and it's a two-parter.
Yeah. And both parts are out now.
Out now, baby.
Mm.
But for now, we're going to dive back into
Hitler. Okay, but why are you being cagey about this being the last episode on Hitler?
Because I made a promise to the hoes that I would never declare when a series is done until I know it's done.
Norm, I have ADHD. Okay, do I need to have a script prepared for next week or what? Just give me the goddamn answer.
By the end of this episode, you will know the answer.
Okay, what a mysterious guy. All right.
Previously on an old-timey podcast.
Ooh.
we learned that after the end of World War II, the FBI was documenting reported sightings of Adolf Hitler around the world.
Oh, yeah!
Why would the FBI look for Hitler if they thought he was dead? It's simple. There was tons of Soviet misinformation on Hitler's fate. The FBI was duty-bound to investigate. Duty. The FBI wanted to keep tabs on the people reporting these Hitler sightings. The FBI wanted to prevent duplicate investigations. And hey, maybe it was just plain fun. Within these 700 pages of FBI documents are story after story of complete nonsense. Hitler in St. Louis, Missouri as an evil landlord. Hitler riding a submarine across the ocean to Argentina. Hitler in line at a hotel waffle bar in Charlottesville, Virginia. In fact, based on this incredible variety of false Hitler sightings, it would be downright stupid to use anything from these documents as evidence that Hitler escaped, right?
Downright stupid, Norm. What are you trying to say?
Well, don't tell that to the 2015 History Channel show Hunting Hitler. A team of manhunters used these documents to try and find out if Hitler escaped to South America back in 1945. Now, when you watch this show, please ignore all the eyewitness testimony, Hitler's mental and physical health, his declarations he was going to kill himself, and all the forensic evidence, too. So just ignore all that.
No problem. Done.
The Hunting Hitler team consists of Bob Baer, a 21-year CIA veteran. John Sensich, a professor and former war crimes investigator. Tim Kennedy, a sexy Special Forces MMA fighter.
Oh.
Steve Rombaum, a Nazi hunter who tells people,
"Get your ass in the vehicle."
And Gerard Williams, a journalist who wrote a book about Hitler escaping to Argentina. He also wears fun, colorful scarves.
Oh.
After spouting off a bunch of lies in the introduction, the team decides to investigate an FBI report that Hitler was hiding in a vast underground bunker. You know, if the Hunting Hitler team had scrolled down just a little bit in the FBI files, they would have learned that the FBI closed the case. The reason? The source of this information was a 97-year-old spiritualist cult leader in Orlando, Florida. Whoops, too late now. The team arrives in the small town of Chirata to look for clues. They speak with a cute old man who says he went to a German school.
I'm an old man!
From there, they find a small underground facility at a rural farmhouse, also known as a basement. And when they realize that they found absolutely nothing in Chirata, the team moves to a new location, Misiones, located 7 hours east. Why? A magazine article from the FBI files claims the Nazis control secret roadways there.
Mm.
What will they discover? Find out next on another exciting episode of an old-timey podcast.
Woo! Oh, Norm, that was wonderful. Although I'm starting to suspect, because you're so defensive and so fired up, that maybe you're Hitler.
Do you see my facial hair?
Yeah. You've changed it up, Hitler, and you look great.
I'm in disguise right now.
It's your gas that gave you away.
My gas?
Yes.
That was my actual fart.
Oh, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
What was that? Kristen, you know what that sound means.
It's tinfoil hat time.
Put on those tinfoil hats, folks.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, Kristen, you've got a new tinfoil hat today.
Yeah, I wanted to go really regal. Are all my points standing up straight or are they kind of leaning?
Yeah, they are. I sure hope the camera can pick all that up. You're really tall now.
It's a lot of beauty all in one shot. Probably can't capture it. That's fine.
You got like the Little Mermaid crown going there.
Yeah.
What do you think of mine?
Well,
it's I call it Old Faithful.
I call it Old Dong. Look at that thing.
Old Dong?
That,
no.
Norm, it looks like a dong. You can call that a handle all you want.
Someone said I look like a snork, which is also very funny. Okay. Prepare yourself, history hoes. We're going to get real slutty again.
Okay.
Kristen, if at any time you have had enough, take off your tinfoil hat silently and I will end the show.
That's okay. You're going to be disappointed. That's not going to happen because I am really enjoying this series.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Episode 2 of Hunting Hitler. So the Hunting Hitler team is going to Misiones. Well, One member of the team is going anyway. Who is it? Sexy Special Forces hunk Tim Kennedy.
Oh, I'm about to bust.
My goodness.
I don't really know where Gerard Williams and Steven Rombaum went. My guess is the show is not filmed in a linear fashion. Mm-hmm. I think they just filmed a bunch of shit and threw it together, and they're like, here it is, Hunting Hitler.
I have a theory that those two just had to make it to the nearest Hard Rock Cafe, and they left all the real work to Tim. That's his name, right?
Tim Kennedy.
Okay, great.
He can get it done. Don't you worry. So we quickly discover the actual reason they're going to Misiones. A team of archaeologists have uncovered a possible Nazi hideout in the jungle.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's cool. Well, not cool, but you know what I mean.
Okay, so this dig, it has nothing to do with Hunting Hitler. It was led by Dr. Daniel Shavelson of the University of Buenos Aires. And it's legit. Dr. Shavelson would later present his findings in the International Journal of Historical Archaeology. He has also given talks at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
This is the coolest part of Hunting Hitler.
Sure.
So Dr. Shavelson and his team found three structures in the jungles of Misiones. They are not accessible by road, and they're located on the banks of the Parana River that separate Paraguay and Argentina. The archaeological dig found a ton of cans that had sardines, corned beef, milk. They found a box with Nazi coins.
Holy shit.
They found a photo of a child in a Hitler youth uniform. They also found a photo of Hitler and Mussolini.
Oh.
And then a bunch of medicine bottles.
Wow.
Yeah. The buildings are made of stone. They have European architecture, two bedrooms, a kitchen, a bathroom, tiles, a tub, a toilet, no shower.
Oh.
Thank God, because if I found out that fucking place had a shower, I would have lost my mind. Because we don't have a shower right now.
Yeah, Norm, do you want to fill the history hose in?
Yeah, we don't have a shower. We haven't had a shower in 2 months.
We have a bathtub, folks, but our shower's fuddidly udged. So it's okay. We've got guys working on it.
Yeah.
It's great. Who needs a shower? Am I right?
Showers are so overrated. I like cleaning myself in my own filth. I like bathing in my own filth, you know?
Everyone, this morning I squatted in an empty bathtub with the water running. This is the way I bathe myself now.
Okay, so Dr. Shavelson dates these ruins to about 1945.
I bet he does.
And he believes it was used as some sort of temporary residence. But unfortunately, that's about all we know. There's no documentary evidence about the buildings because it was probably built for someone to hide in.
Mm-hmm.
So finding information is going to be a little difficult. So yeah, this is super cool.
Yeah.
But then the show ruins everything.
Yeah.
When the narrator implies that Hitler could have been hiding here because he lived an opulent lifestyle.
Wait, how?
What do you mean how?
Well, okay. Narrator implies Hitler could have lived there. Sure. Maybe could have, except we know that that's not true from all the forensic evidence and everything.
Yeah.
But what about this says opulence?
Well, it is kind of a fancy schmancy hideout in the middle of the jungle. It's got tile work. It's got two bedrooms, a kitchen, bathroom.
That is pretty wild.
It's got like a – they believe one of the structures was supplying fresh water to the other buildings.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's very weird. But again, we don't really know that much about it.
Yeah.
So yes, Hunting Hitler says, oh, this is probably built for Hitler. So the show highlights a report from the Office of Strategic Services, a.k.a. the OSS. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the OSS?
Only from bits I've picked up from you, but please, okay. Enlighten us.
It's the precursor to the CIA.
Okay.
It was formed during World War II. The report is dated September 6th, 1943, and it says, quote, Hitler has a special plane bringing him asparagus and bonbons fresh daily from Paris.
Shut up.
So Hunting Hitler is showing this document as proof that Hitler lived an opulent lifestyle. Well, Normie C. found this OSS report, and I read it myself.
Uh-oh.
Here's what the show does not mention. This report is about a secret operation known as Operation Heal. Operation Heal was a campaign to spread rumors and fake news stories about Hitler to make the German public turn against him.
Oh.
And so this report of Hitler getting asparagus and bonbons daily was one of those rumors they wanted to spread.
So, again, all you have to do is scroll down a little bit in the report.
In this case, I had to scroll up, but yes.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
So they are truly cherry-picking.
Not only cherry-picking, but just straight lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this idea, Operation Heal, it's actually pretty hilarious. Would you like to hear some of the other suggested rumors the OSS
yes,
wanted to
please,
spread in Europe?
Please.
Hitler has the greatest porn collection in all of Europe.
Okay. Yeah, if you're a German citizen and you just love Hitler, yeah, you want to think he's like above all these earthly pleasures. Is that the thinking? And
yeah,
he's just
sure.
some creepy perv?
Yeah, creepy perv.
Okay.
Let's see. Paper supplies are low in Germany because Hitler keeps printing copies of Mein Kampf.
That's great.
Hitler goes around all day dressed as Frederick the Great.
How did Frederick the Great dress?
I mean, he was a king, so probably pretty fancy schmancy.
That's another
good one.
From the
1800s.
I think I'd be great at making up rumors about people. Oh, keep going.
I wonder if Julia Childs wrote up some of these rumors. She was in the OSS.
She sure was. Mm-hmm. She said she was just, you know, filling out paperwork and stuff. But wouldn't you say that if you were part of the OSS doing cool shit?
Of course you would.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler drinks a ton of French champagne and wears a monocle at private parties.
Okay, yeah.
So he's a rich douchebag.
Uh-huh.
Finally, this one's interesting to me. Hitler staged a suicide by stabbing himself with a sword.
Okay.
Maybe it's like he's like losing it.
Sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
There was a ton of others, but those were the funniest ones to me.
I'm telling you, I missed my calling.
What do you want to do now?
I want to be told, hey, there's this guy we hate. Please make up rumors about him. Obviously, they have to be kind of believable. I think I would do a great job.
Hitler getting asparagus flown in daily from Paris is pretty funny. I thought about, man, the guy is farting everywhere, and then his piss is going to smell terrible too.
Where were you / how old were you when you found out that asparagus makes your pee smell disgusting?
I think that was one of those things my mom told me, like, as soon as I ate asparagus for the first time.
That's how it should be. That's how the good Lord intended it to
I'm
be.
Pretty sure she warned me because I was like, what are these? And she's like, asparagus, it makes your pee smell funny. And I was a kid. I was like, tee-hee-hee. And, of course, you always remember a moment like that. So, yeah, that's how I remember.
You want to know something weird?
What?
I remember the day my dad found out that asparagus makes your
pee smell. Your father?
Yes, it was at someone's funeral. I can't remember whose funeral it was. But like we'd all gotten together for like a family meal.
Uh-huh.
We'd had asparagus and it was after the funeral and I feel like you, me and my dad were standing around kind of whispering and I had just gotten back from the bathroom and I was like, God, I love asparagus, but I hate how weird it makes your pee smell. And my dad, I mean, I blew his mind that day. He goes, that's why my pee smells so bad? This is so embarrassing. I wondered what was wrong with me. So
wow.
Anyway, yeah.
Late bloomer, huh?
Late bloomer. I
guess,
it just makes me wonder.
You know, better late than never, I guess.
It just makes me wonder, like, did Hitler know? Or was he smelling his own pee thinking, I've got to get my weird smelly doctor back in here, see if there's anything he can do about this problem?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he enjoyed asparagus. He was a vegetarian, and that's a delicious vegetable.
Yeah.
I guess the researchers at the History Channel didn't read that OSS report, or they just don't give a shit.
Don't give a shit.
Yeah. So just to be clear, Dr. Shavelson has never suggested that Hitler came to these ruins. That's purely from hunting Hitler.
Yeah.
And Dr. Shavelson routinely shoots down conspiracy theories about the ruins because, boy, are there a lot of them.
It must be so frustrating to be a real researcher doing actual work, and then you have these hunting Hitler fuckers come in with what is a really big show on a major network,
mm-hmm.
and they put these ridiculous, harmful conspiracy theories out there.
Yeah. So Dr. Shavelson has said, bottom line, more research and digging needs to be done before we can definitively say what these ruins are about.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Shavelson for his incredible work. And I'm looking forward to hearing what they discover.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so back in the LA office, Bob Baer and John Sensage declare, it's not enough to be in Argentina. We need to investigate in Berlin as well.
Okay.
Because if we find out that Hitler killed himself in the bunker, this investigation is over.
Okay, boys.
Okay. Uh-huh. So who wants to tell him? Anyone want to tell him?
Literally anyone could tell him.
Anyone? Anyone? Well, Bob and John send former U.S. Marshal Lenny DePaul to Berlin so he can learn the truth about Hitler's alleged suicide. According to the show, Lenny DePaul was once in charge of over 380 full-time manhunters.
Manhunters who were hunting what exactly? Nazis or?
Well, he was a U.S. Marshal, so I'm guessing just criminals.
Okay.
Terrorists.
Gotcha.
You know, elves. Mythical creatures.
Well, yeah, you got to track all those fuckers down. Mm-hmm.
I went to his Instagram page. He says he's a former U.S. Marshal, former Secret Service, former U.S. Navy. He also owns a clothing brand called Zero Dark 30.
Ew.
You want another tagline?
Yeah.
When tactical meets practical.
Ew, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I thought it was pretty clever, actually.
Are they cute clothes?
Think no, about getting not yourself really. A little top. They're not super stylish.
Okay.
On the company's website, DePaul writes, as an operator and being downrange for 3 decades, chasing violent felony fugitives across the globe, okay. It was very important for me that I felt comfortable in what I was wearing and carrying.
Sorry.
I couldn't agree more, brother. Okay, so Lenny DePaul is going to go to Berlin. He looks very comfortable in his outfit.
Uh-huh.
He visits with a local archivist named Sasha Kyle, and they're going to read some eyewitness testimony, figure out what happened with Hitler. Ooh. So specifically, they're going to look at interrogations done by Michael Musmano, and I mentioned him in part 3 of this series briefly. He was an American judge at Nuremberg. He led the U.S. investigations into Hitler's death, and he also wrote the book 10 Days to Die. Which, by the way, concluded that Hitler killed himself in his bunker in Berlin.
So he got that wrong.
Yeah, I think so. So Lenny DePaul could have done this research from home at his computer, but hey, free trip to Berlin.
Well, yeah, and he's
Why
got
not?
The perfect outfit for this trip.
And
so.
He looks comfy as hell. Shout out to Duquesne University for digitally archiving these interrogations. That's where I read them all. So to search these interrogations, DePaul and Sasha are going to use a clearly fake program again called the Nazi Interrogation Archive Data Bank.
Oh, my God.
Again, Adobe Reader. Try it sometime, fellas. It works great. So DePaul searches for the words body, dead, and identity.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets a few hits. And first they pull up an interview with Erwin Jakobek. Are you ready for some history ho context?
Yeah.
Okay. Erwin Jakobek was a waiter on Hitler's staff. Technically, he was also a soldier, but Jakobek claimed that was just a formality. So pretty cushy job. He's just a waiter. He was captured by the Russians after the war, and they just thought he was a common soldier, so he wasn't in prison for long.
Yeah.
In 1948, Michael Musmano interviewed Erwin Jakobek for his Hitler death investigation. And Jakobek recalled that while he was in captivity in Russia, he had heard about the details of Hitler's death secondhand from another prisoner, Heinz Linge, who was Hitler's valet.
Mm-hmm.
So Lenny DePaul pulls up this Jakobek interrogation, and Judge Musmano asks Jakobek if Linge was present when Hitler killed himself. And Jakobek replies, no. Which is technically true. No one was present when Hitler killed himself. He was alone in a room with Eva Braun.
And Eva had just died.
Yes. But the show is being dishonest here because they don't read Jakobek's entire answer. The full statement is no, but Linge was present when the bodies were wrapped up.
Okay, then. This show is such bullshit.
Oh, we're just getting started, baby. And furthermore, the very next question that Jakobek is asked in this interrogation, is there any doubt in your mind that Hitler is dead? Guess what his answer was.
Hell no, to the no, 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 to the no.
Yeah, he said, quote, none whatsoever. It was impossible to get out of there. Impossible.
Yeah.
Also, I have a question. Why are Lenny DePaul and Sasha Kyle pulling from an interrogation with Erwin Jakobek? Why don't you look at the multitude of interviews with the three men who actually saw Hitler dead in his study? Why don't you see the interrogation of Artur Axmann, the Hitler youth leader, or Heinz Linge, Hitler's valet, or Otto Gunsch, Hitler's adjutant? Cherry pickers be cherry picking.
Yeah, I mean, if they went for all that, then there'd be no need for this show.
Yeah, because it would say, oh yeah, Hitler's dead. Never mind. So former U.S. Marshal Lenny DePaul declares, this is all hearsay. And he goes, I'm not buying it. Just like that, by the way.
Well, of course.
Okay, so then they pull up another interrogation, this time on Erich Mansfeld. He was an SS guard on duty at the bunker. And so Lenny DePaul reads from the report, and it says, Mansfeld, quote, could recognize the body as being that of a man, but could not be certain it was Hitler.
Oh, my God.
Once again, if the show is being honest, they would note that Mansfeld said that in regards to the burnt-up body.
Oh.
Hitler had been so badly charred, Mansfeld could not recognize who it was anymore.
Sure.
Earlier in his interrogation, Erich Mansfeld stated that when the bodies were carried out of the bunker, he clearly recognized one as Hitler's from his signature black boots and black trousers. Okay, well, that is the end of this episode of
an old-timey podcast. I'm just... Everyone, I did take off my tinfoil hat. First of all, it was not very structurally sound. I felt like I couldn't move my head without that thing falling. But also, I am getting very annoyed with these fuckers.
We're just getting started. I am telling you, we're just getting started. It is lie after lie after lie.
Ugh.
So Lenny DePaul remarks, he didn't see the body. And then Sasha Kyle replies, no one did.
What an odd thing to say.
Fucking liars.
Yeah. It's so infuriating. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? I can name seven people off the top of my head who saw Hitler's body.
Yeah, but it's very hard to take you seriously because you've got a tinfoil dong sticking out the top of your head.
This is my snork cosplay, actually. I'm rebranding this tinfoil hat. Okay. Okay, so... Yeah, why don't you look at some other interrogations of some of these people that actually saw Hitler's body?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not going to. Okay, so then DePaul and Sasha start blabbing about body doubles. Oh, because no one could positively identify Hitler. Well, I guess looking at those two interrogations was enough research for them. Lenny DePaul declares, at this point, it's an open case.
No, it's not.
Well, back in L.A., Bob Baer and John Sensich, they can't believe it, Kristen. No one saw Hitler's body.
They absolutely can, these disingenuous fuckers.
Well, Bob says he's going to turn to the forensics. He says, show me some forensic evidence that Hitler died.
Okay, we've got plenty. You're not going to like it, though.
Yeah. So they're going to look at the Soviet reports of Hitler's death.
Okay, here we go.
Well, wait a minute. Holy moly. Could it be? Are we finally going to look at Hitler's teeth?
No, they're going to look at that bullshit one from Smirsch.
I mean, even the bullshit Smirsch report talked about the teeth.
Well, sure, but they're going to, you know, I know where this is going.
Soviets reported on them chompers.
Okay.
And forensics concluded they belonged to Hitler. Well, yeah, they literally don't mention the teeth at all.
Oh.
They don't bring them up at all. Not one mention of Hitler's teeth in this entire series.
Wow.
So they're going to look at the skull fragment that the Russians found.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course they are, because the teeth forensics would have ended the show right then and
yes.
there. Yes. Back in 2009, Dr. Nicholas Bellantoni used DNA analysis and determined the skull fragment belonged to a woman in her 30s. And Bob Baer is curious if the skull fragment perhaps belonged to Eva Braun.
Hmm.
Hmm. Color me intrigued, Bob. I'd be curious to know if the skull belonged to Eva Braun as well. That could be an interesting wrinkle in the story, because the DNA analysis does match Brown's profile. Woman in her 30s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they use Skype to call up Dr. Nicholas Bellantoni, who examined the skull fragment. Side note, I can't remember the last time I used Skype.
That's a real throwback, isn't it?
Remember Skype, folks? I feel like everyone uses like Discord or Zoom now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Bob asked Dr. Bellantoni, what if this skull fragment belongs to Ava Brown? And Dr. Bellantoni replies, well, that would be interesting, although all of the witnesses say that Brown didn't shoot herself.
Right.
She poisoned herself, and this skull has a bullet hole. So shout out to Dr. Nicholas Bellantoni for appearing on the show and not bullshitting.
And shitting all over everything.
Yeah. So Bob and John decide their next logical step. They're going to find a relative of Ava Brown and see if the DNA matches.
Okay, that's fun.
Because if it does match, that means Ava Brown was shot dead. And witnesses in the bunker claimed they only heard one shot, which means Hitler could have survived and escaped Berlin. Kristen, isn't it interesting that when the witnesses say they only heard one shot, Bob thinks that's credible, but when those same witnesses also say they saw Hitler dead, that's not credible?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yep.
So back in Germany, former U.S. Marshal Lenny DePaul has gotten together with a German private investigator. I didn't even bother writing this guy's name down.
Okay.
They've tracked down a living relative of Ava Brown. And they're going to ask for some DNA.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So Ava Brown and Hitler didn't have any kids. It's not really clear who this relative is. It's more than likely a cousin.
Sure.
So the private investigator knocks on her door. This woman answers and he says, hey, we're doing an investigation about Ava Brown. And like right away, the woman's like, I don't want to talk about it. We're the next generation. We were born after the war. This is a closed subject. And she closed the door on him.
Sure.
And so Lenny DePaul hears the news and he's clearly frustrated and he says, so the forensics window is shut.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Where's the teeth? The teeth.
What is that sound?
It's teeth chattering. Don't you watch cartoons, Kristen?
I mean, it's been several years.
Well, Bob and John are also pretty disappointed in this news because according to them, there were no eyewitnesses. There were no forensics, and that leaves only one explanation, Kristen. Hitler's death was staged. Oh.
I understand why you're so frustrated with this show. You have been frustrated for weeks over this show.
Kristen, look at my face.
I'm looking.
Look at my facial. I've become evil Norm. Look at me. I'm turning into a threatening boy.
Well,
Minute by minute.
I don't know about
that. No, not really.
I mean, you just ran around the house looking for your wild strawberry crystal light.
That's
so
true.
I think you've got a few steps to go before you start getting threatening.
Good point. Okay, so now the Hunting Hitler team wants to know how Adolf Hitler could have escaped Berlin. It was a city under siege. They want to look at the Führer bunker.
Okay.
So Bob Ayer says, you never want a bunker to become a prison. You always want to have an escape route. And what's the best way to do that? Secret tunnels.
Okay.
Okay, so first of all, Bob, the Führer bunker had multiple exits. It was not a prison, although I'm sure it felt like one being in there, all the farts and whatnot, you know. Most people entered the bunker through the cellar of the chancellery. You could also get in through the garden.
Okay.
There's an emergency exit. Second of all, Bob, the Führer bunker did not have secret underground passages. I know that sounds very exciting, ooh, like a Hollywood movie, but in reality, in the real world, this was an air raid shelter. It was only meant for temporary residents during an air raid.
Yeah.
There's no reason to build a secret underground passage. The original blueprints of the bunker confirm there were no secret underground passages. There was only one passage. And it wasn't a secret at all. It connected the cellar of the old Chancellery building to the cellar of the new Chancellery building. And the reason they did that was they wanted to be able to bring in food and supplies to the Führer bunker without having to go above ground. Hitler needed direct access to his Cheez-It snapped crackers.
Are you saying that you and Hitler enjoy the same snacks?
We found these Cheez-It snapped crackers at Costco.
Everyone, life-changing.
It's the greatest snack I've ever eaten in my life. I could eat them all day, every day. So delicious.
Everyone,
just thinking about it makes me burp.
Burped thinking about them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I had some this morning, actually. I know, just burped again.
you start your day with these Cheez-Its. And you often are you judging end me? Your day with, well, I am judging you when I'm like, I think I'd like to have some. And then I go downstairs. They're gone. She gone. And I'm like, I just bought these 2 days ago.
Listen.
Yes.
Your Patreon plugs are allowing us to buy as many Cheez-It crackers as we want. Okay. So, yeah, that was the only secret underground passage to the Führer bunker was a passageway to the fucking pantry, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In a 1948 interrogation, Julius Schaub, one of Hitler's aides, was asked about secret tunnels in the Führer bunker, and he said, there were no passages. That is another one of those lies.
Do you have a theory on this?
On what?
On why people are so obsessed with the idea of him making it out alive.
I don't. I really don't get it. I mean, I guess if you're a neo-Nazi,
you would
want Hitler to survive.
Well, sure. If you're a neo-Nazi, obviously. But I think, like, for regular people, I just think there's this temptation to be, like, to see certain people as not just evil, but evil geniuses.
Yeah.
And, oh, they could escape anything. They could get out of anything. And, oh, well, of course they had a secret tunnel. And, of course, this, of course, that.
Yeah, it's
these
like—
These are people.
It's like they can't accept— They've, like, built this guy up in their head as this, like, incredible, brilliant genius because it was Adolf Hitler. But it's like, no, Adolf Hitler was just a dude like any one of us. That's what makes him so evil.
Yeah.
That he was able to kill 6 million Jews and he was just this guy.
And convince other people.
And convince the entire country to go along with it.
But at the end of the day, he was just some fucker.
Yes. He wasn't some Superman.
No, no.
Paranormal, alien, evil demon.
He was a man who did horrible, horrible things, but he was just a person.
Yeah.
There is danger in thinking of people as being one end of a spectrum.
Right, because you can look at Hitler and be like, well, that's an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
That's once in a lifetime, will never happen again, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, no, that can happen again.
It could happen again.
Yeah.
But we also, when we're looking on his life and looking at his death, which happened, and we have plenty of evidence of how it happened and why it happened and all that, we don't need to go inventing stories.
I've got so many stories here for you.
Oh, okay. I'll stop interrupting. Go
don't
ahead.
Don't you worry. So they're going to go look for some tunnels.
Okay.
And so local archivist Sasha Kyle tells Lenny DePaul that there's a vast underground tunnel system in Berlin. And so he takes him to a manhole in some bushes and they go underground.
Is it just the subway?
So Berlin does have a lot of underground stuff.
Uh-huh.
Old subway lines.
Sure.
Brewery vaults, air raid shelters. And when DePaul and Sasha go underground, it looks like they're in an old subway line.
Mm-hmm.
According to the show, it's a vast underground network built specifically by the Nazis to move people in and out of Berlin.
Really?
It's not true.
Uh-huh.
One of these tunnels under Berlin, it allegedly led to Fraggle Rock.
Yes.
Another day. Down in Fraggle Rock.
Wait a minute, Norm. Are you saying that all the Fraggle Rock people were Nazis?
So I was going to mention, did you remember that episode as a kid when Nazis were in Fraggle Rock?
Must have skipped that one.
Yeah. Tough episode.
Oh, yeah. It was a very special episode of Fraggle Rock.
Well, Lenny DePaul is amazed by this old subway line, and then he asks, why would Hitler kill himself if he could have escaped underground? And it's like, gee, Lenny, maybe it's because he could barely walk up the fucking stairs. Does Lenny DePaul think Adolf is going to put on his Air Hitler sneakers and just run out of Berlin?
Absolutely.
Also, none of these tunnels connect to the Führer bunker. They don't connect to the Führer bunker.
Except if you pull away a poster in the Führer bunker, Norm.
Of Raquel Welch.
Raquel?
Raquel Welch.
Yes. They couldn't afford the Raquel Welch poster.
Timu.
They
Raquel
pull that
Welch.
Away. That's how he crawled out of there.
Incredible.
Yep.
Well, that concludes episode 2 of Hunting Hitler.
Wow, that was really stupid.
Thank you. I agree. Episode 3.
Ooh.
Back in the LA office, John Sensich says, there isn't enough evidence to say Hitler died in the Führer bunker. And Bob Baer is like, yeah, we all just assume that's what happened, but there's no evidence.
Oh, so these fuckers.
Their current belief is that Hitler faked his death, escaped the bunker, and then made his way to Argentina. But Kristen, how did he get to Argentina?
Yellow submarine.
So they pull up an FBI report that claims Hitler arrived in Argentina on a submarine.
Yes.
And then after he got off the submarine, he journeyed inland on horseback.
What?
Sounds very believable to me.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to talk more about the submarine claim later.
Okay.
But for now, Bob and John decide they're going to look at the choke points. Mm. These are areas where people fleeing have to make it past in order to escape.
Yeah.
Choke point number one is, how did Hitler escape Germany? And then choke point number two is, where did Hitler enter Argentina? So first we're going to investigate choke point number one. So we're back to former U.S. Marshal Lenny DePaul, and he's talking with local archivist Sasha Kyle again. And they both agree that the only way Hitler could have left Berlin was on an airplane. I actually agree with this. If he did not kill himself, but he definitely did.
Yeah.
If he had not killed himself, leaving on a plane was Hitler's best chance to escape Berlin.
Sure.
He's not getting out on foot. The Russians control the rivers going through Berlin, so he's not getting on a boat.
Okay.
And I don't know where the hell he could get on a train. He's got to fly out. So Sasha Kyle notes that if anyone could fly Hitler out of Berlin, it was Hannah Reich. Remember Hannah Reich?
Well, yeah, but we already know what happened there. Oh, is Bob pretending he doesn't know?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Okay, so here's a little refresher. Hannah Reich was a test pilot, fanatical Nazi. She miraculously flew into Berlin during the final days and somehow made it to the Führer bunker to visit her best friend, Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Reich's post-war interrogations and her autobiography, she did offer to fly Hitler out of Berlin. But guess what Hitler told her?
I'm going to kill myself?
Hell no.
To the no, no, no.
Hell to the no.
He said, nein. He's going to stay in Berlin.
Okay.
Well, Lenny DePaul wants to look through some more interrogations. Maybe he can find evidence that Hitler flew out of Berlin.
Hmm.
And so he searches in this obviously fake software program. Escape. Plans. Fly. And plane.
Oh, my God. That Control F was doing the Lurd's work.
Mm-hmm. And they pull up a new interrogation with Lieutenant Friedrich Ohms. One section reads, quote, I was deeply convinced that one day I would have to take off in a plane and Hitler and Himmler would be on it. I know about his plans. I know his psychology. I found this statement super weird. And so I thought I would read through Friedrich Ohms' interrogation. Kristen, he's what you might call an unreliable witness.
Uh-oh.
He made several wild claims. Are you ready to hear them?
Yes.
Okay. According to Ohms, he was arrested for high treason for being a part of the July 20th plot to assassinate Hitler.
Oh, well, that's a great lie to tell after the Germans lose. Okay.
Yeah. I guess he wasn't executed for his role in the plot.
Yeah, just arrested.
That's very odd. He claimed he invented the Panzer Schreck anti-tank weapon, also quite a claim. He claimed he spoke with Hitler in February of 1945 at his Wolfschanze headquarters in East Prussia, which is very odd because Hitler had abandoned that headquarters back in November of 1944 and blew it up with dynamite.
Oh, okay.
Then Ulms claimed he was put on a secret mission at the end of the war, but he could never actually provide details on what that mission was.
Well, yeah,
was.
It was a secret mission, Norm.
You think I'm going to tell you?
God.
And by the way, he did all of this at the age of 23.
Boy genius.
Pretty impressive resume.
Sure.
Wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, when you make it up.
So it's clear this guy's full of shit.
Yes.
And U.S. intelligence thought so, too. They had to remind Ulms he was speaking under oath. And during this interrogation, Ulms kept alluding to this secret mission of saving Hitler.
Uh-huh.
And so U.S. intelligence asked him, do you have any concrete evidence that Hitler is still alive? And Ulms said, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess Lenny DePaul and Sasha Kyle, they think Ulms was definitely telling the truth. It's evidence Hitler wanted to escape Berlin. That look on your face.
I'm just so annoyed.
Hey, he's a former U.S. Marshal. He knows when someone's lying or
uh-huh.
not.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So then, Lenny DePaul wants to look at another interrogation. This time from Colonel Nicholas von Bellow.
Okay.
He was the liaison officer between Hitler and the Luftwaffe, German Air Force. So Lenny DePaul is reading one of von Bellow's answers, and it states, in the conference on the 20th of April, Hitler's birthday, the Führer did say he agreed to go south. So then the narrator of the show says, Hitler made his final public appearance in April 20th, 1945, 10 days before he was said to have committed suicide.
Mm.
So the show is insinuating that Hitler's last appearance was April 20th, and then he left Berlin by plane.
Right.
So it's true that Hitler's last public appearance was April 20th, 1945, but the key word there is public.
Yeah.
Up until his suicide, Hitler was giving orders. He was sending out radio messages, telegrams, directing the defense of Berlin, eating dinner with his staff, farting up a storm, all from the Führer bunker. So if Hitler left by plane after his birthday, who was giving out all of those orders? Who's the guy that went apeshit when he learned the army was not going to save him? Who was the man eating dinner with his staff? Who the hell was farting in the bunker?
A body double.
Yeah, that's what they say. It was a body double.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, so I mentioned this in part two of our series. Between April 20th and April 23rd, 1945, Hitler sent most of his staff south on planes to the Obersalzberg mountain retreat. And he did tell them he would be joining them at a later date. But in reality, Hitler had no plans to leave Berlin. In this same interrogation that Hunting Hitler is using, that as evidence that Hitler flew south,
mm-hmm.
Colonel Nicholas von Bellow stated, yes, he said that he would follow these people south, but I can only add that I never doubted that he would remain in Berlin. And so Colonel von Bellow was then asked, is there any doubt in your mind at all that Hitler is dead? And he answered, he is dead without a doubt. So once again, Hunting Hitler is cherry-picking statements from interrogations to support their bullshit conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Then they pull up another interrogation. Admiral Karl von Puttkamer. There's some great names here.
No kidding.
He was the liaison officer between Hitler and the German Navy. And so Lenny DePaul reads one of his answers, and it says, we left Berlin by air in the early morning of the 21st of April. We were about 8 or 10 aircraft. Lenny DePaul is stunned. And he says, that's direct evidence that Nazis were escaping Germany at the end of the war. Congratulations, Lenny DePaul. Yes, it's not disputed that a majority of Hitler's staff flew south. That's not in dispute.
No. But if you say it like this...
Yeah.
Then it's new information. That's just the law. That's just the way things work.
Admiral Karl von Puttkamer was one of Hitler's staff that fucking left between April 20th and April 23rd. And guess what else he was asked in his interrogation? Do you have any doubt at all that Hitler is dead? Guess what his answer was?
9.
No, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Hunting Hitler team is convinced that Adolf Hitler flew out of Berlin. And so now Lenny DePaul wants to look at some flight logs. specifically the ones from April 21st, the day after his last public appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn from those flight logs that one of the planes was loaded with Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun's personal property.
Yeah, that's not in dispute either.
It's not. Lenny DePaul wonders, why would Hitler load a plane with his property if he wasn't going to be on it? I guess that's a fair question.
Sure.
Well, Mr. DePaul, as we have already learned from this brilliant podcast, Hitler told his staff he would be joining them down south at a later date, but he ultimately did not. And yes, some of his personal belongings were on that flight. That plane crashed on April 22nd, killing practically everyone on board as well. The next day, Eva Braun wrote her sister when she hadn't heard news of the plane's arrival in Obersalzberg. Eva Braun had luggage, letters, jewelry on that flight that she wanted to give to her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And Braun wrote, it would be really terrible if something happened to it. Okay, so now Lenny DePaul, he wants to learn more about the Tempelhof Airport. That's where all these planes took off from Berlin. The Soviets did not capture Tempelhof Airport until April 27th, 1945. So about 4 days after that mass exodus of Hitler's staff. So plenty of time for Hitler to escape too, no doubt. So the show believes Hitler left his bunker on April 21st. He used a secret passage and took a tunnel all the way to the Tempelhof Airport, boarded a plane, and escaped. The look on your face right now.
I don't know how you did it. I don't know how you watched this entire show.
I did it for the hose, Kristen.
You're a hero, Norm.
Thank you. The Norm Troopers salute me. A toast.
No, Kristen's Night Guard is where it's.
Well, will they salute me too?
Yeah.
Maybe we have a temporary alliance.
Yeah, we will.
Okay, so Lenny DePaul and Sasha Kyle, they take the subway from the old Chancellery area to the Tempelhof Airport. And when they leave the subway station, Lenny DePaul notices how far away the airport is from the subway entrance. It's like 300 yards. And he says, there's no way Hitler would have risked being out in the open that long.
Mm.
So guess what they're going to do now, Kristen?
What?
They're going to look for tunnels.
Okay.
This is like the repeating theme on this show. They look for evidence that they want to exist.
Sure.
Yeah.
And completely ignore all of the existing evidence.
Yes. Or warp and twist it in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so while Lenny DePaul is going to look for tunnels like a fucking gopher.
I just spat everywhere.
Bob and John want to look at choke point number two. Where and how did Hitler enter Argentina? So they pull up that FBI report again that says Hitler arrived on a submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Hitler on a U-boat going 7,500 miles across the ocean to Argentina. Definitely believable, right, Kristen?
I don't know anything about U-boats.
I'm about to enlighten you.
Okay.
Here is what that journey might have looked like. U-boats were about the size of two railroad cars. They were filled with machinery and weapons. There was zero privacy. Crew members slept on soggy bunk beds.
Oh.
They could not bathe or change their clothes.
Oh.
Food took on the taste of diesel fuel. And deployments lasted about 2 months.
Oh, my God.
U-boat crews had a 75% casualty rate, the highest of any German armed forces during the war. It was a miserable, dangerous job. Sounds like a real fun time for Hitler on his journey to Argentina, don't you think, Kristen?
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea it was that miserable.
Have you ever seen the movie Das Boot?
Are you making up a movie?
No, it's a fantastic film from the 80s about a German U-boat crew.
No, that's not anything I would watch. I've watched Spice World a number of times.
I think you'd be into Das Boot.
Okay.
It really captures what it was like. So anyway, when Germany surrendered in May of 1945, the new Reich president, Karl Dönitz, he ordered all the U-boats at sea to surrender to the Allies. But a few of them defied the order. In July of 1945, a German U-boat named U-530 surrendered in Argentina. And almost immediately, rumors began swirling that the submarine was carrying Adolf Hitler.
Sure.
And so a German admiral was asked about these reports, and he called them, quote, wild rumors. He said, I certainly would have known if the U-530 had been earmarked for any special mission. Plus, U530 was in terrible shape. It was leaking everywhere. It had taken damage from an American destroyer. And the German admiral remarked, "It's amazing how she got to Argentina."
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact.
Wow.
Hitler hated the water.
Oh.
According to one German admiral, he didn't like ships. He got sick riding on his yacht on the Rhine River.
Oh, well, that's a really sad story.
Terrible. Mm-hmm. So then a reporter asked this German admiral why such a rumor would even exist. And he answered simply, "There is an organized effort to keep the Hitler myth alive."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, guess where I got all of that information from about the U-530 submarine?
I'm guessing it was, like, freely available on the internet.
I got it from those FBI documents.
Yeah.
The same ones that Hunting Hitler are using.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You just read the whole document.
I just read everything, yeah.
And didn't hide anything.
Mm-hmm.
Admirable of you.
Thank you. Furthermore, the entire crew of U-530, they were arrested and they were sent to the United States. And there's, like, 50 people in this crew. And so none of them mentioned Hitler was on the submarine. They all kept quiet about it for the rest of their lives.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then a month after U-530 surrendered, another submarine, U-977, also surrendered in Argentina. So this further fueled Hitler rode a submarine rumors.
But still with no actual evidence that he did it.
Zero.
Great.
Yeah. There's never been any evidence that high-ranking Nazis came to Argentina on a submarine. You know how most of them came to Argentina?
How? Plane?
They arrived on a ship under a false name.
Yeah, that's the least exciting option. And, of course, it's the most likely one.
Yep. Occam's razor, y'all. Well,
I prefer Gillette.
Gillette! The best a Nazi can get!
Oh, wow.
Okay, so regardless of everything I just told you, Kristen, Nazi hunter Steve Rombom.
Get your ass in the vehicle.
Sexy MMA fighter Tim Kennedy.
I'm about to bust.
And fun scarf-wearing Gerard Williams. I don't have a sound for him. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sexy times.
Oh. Yeah,
that'll work. So they go down to the Valdez Peninsula to see if Hitler landing by submarine is even possible.
Okay, great.
So when they arrive, they see a lighthouse. It's a very rocky coastline. And shockingly, they agree that Hitler probably couldn't have landed by submarine. There's no cover. It's rocky terrain. Steve Rombom comments that Hitler is not John Wayne. He's not going to ride off on a horse into the sunset.
Wow. Okay.
Holy smokes, I agree, Mr. Rombom. Thank you. So how about we get our asses in the vehicle and go home and pretend we never even made this show?
No, we've got more episodes to film, Norm.
You're right. So yeah, they're still convinced Hitler arrived by submarine, just like not there, though.
Okay.
Maybe he landed somewhere else. So they're going to look for support networks around the peninsula, see where he may have come in. And so they go back to those FBI docs, and they use that powerful military tool to search it. And they pull up this magazine article that mentions a German wool company called Lausen, and they're supporting the Nazis.
All right.
Company was located in San Antonio Oeste. It's across the Gulf from the Valdez Peninsula. Mm-hmm. So this is possibly legit.
Okay.
The Lausen company was one of the oldest German companies in Argentina, and there were reports that the Nazis used this company for espionage.
All right.
Okay. I'd have to do more research on it, but it doesn't really matter because I, again, have to stress, we know that Nazis came to Argentina.
Yeah.
But Hitler was not one of them. So the Hunting Hitler team is going to go to San Antonio Oeste and whatever. Steve Rombom's on the street talking to people. Sexy boy Tim Kennedy's on the beach, like trying to figure out where the U-boat could have landed.
I wonder how he would feel if he knew that you were calling him sexy boy.
He'd probably love it.
I mean, would you love it if people refer to you as sexy boy Norman Caruso?
I think so.
Yeah, I think you would. I think you'd be like, hey, they're calling me sexy boy.
I've literally never described myself as sexy, so.
Yeah, so you would have to be like, oh my goodness.
Oh, wow.
They say I'm the sexiest podcaster in all the land. I just don't know, though.
You know that Norman guy? He's got a face for podcasting.
Mm, 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 mm.
Mm. And then Gerard Williams has a fun little scarf on, and he's at the archives.
What color is his scarf?
I don't remember.
Wow, is it a pattern?
It's like a pattern. Okay. It kind of contrasts with his button up. It's a cute little outfit.
All right.
Well, Steve Rombaum discovers an old property that was once owned by the Lauzon family. And this neighbor comes out and he's like, oh, yeah, they were a super wealthy family. They owned a bunch of buildings in the town. They owned a bunch of businesses, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, out of nowhere,
I'm an old man.
An old man appears.
Yes.
Jesus Christ. And he goes, hey, I heard you're looking for some Nazis.
Yeah.
He goes, rumor has it, they found a German submarine back in the day. And you should go talk to this local diver about it.
Mm.
Holy diver, you've been looking for Nazis in the midnight sea. And then Gerard Williams appears. And he's like, I found a report of German U-boats being spotted on the coastline. And then Gerard Williams wonders why the subs would even be there. After all, there was no military reason. And the war was over. There's only one explanation. They're transporting Hitler to Argentina.
Okay.
Great question, Gerard Williams. So I found the interrogation of the captain of the German U-boat U-530. And they asked him why the hell he went all the way to Argentina.
Uh-huh.
And his answer was he thought Argentina was a neutral country, so he preferred to surrender there than in enemy territory.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
Wow. Wow.
Ooh, fun fact. Argentina was neutral in World War II until March 27th, 1945. And then they declared war on Germany. That's like showing up to help a friend move when they've already unloaded the truck.
Yeah.
All right, I'm here, guys.
Oh, am I late? Well, I guess I'll just eat your pizza and drink your beer.
Yeah, I'll plug this lamp in.
Yeah.
Better late than never, I guess. Okay, so Steve Rombaum and Gerard Williams are going to go talk to that local diver that heard reports about the submarine, you know?
Yeah.
And right away, they ask him, do you think German subs came to this area? And the diver's like, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah, because we know of at least two U-boats that surrendered in Argentina. Yeah. Okay. So I was really hoping this diver would be a normal dude.
Yeah.
It took a turn for the worse, Kristen.
Oh, no.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So then they ask, do you think these submarines were delivering important people? And the diver's like, absolutely.
Okay.
And you ready for his evidence?
Yeah.
He goes, well, there's this lady who lives near here, and her name is Paisani. And from her kitchen window, she saw the silhouette of a sub, and she saw a bunch of people get off it, and then the submarine exploded.
Okay.
And then, according to this diver, they looked for that U-boat back in 1997, but they couldn't find it.
Mm.
And it wasn't because it didn't actually exist.
Right.
It's because they didn't have enough time to look for it. We needed more time.
They were on a time crunch, Norm. Come on.
Meanwhile, sexy, sexy Tim Kennedy.
I'm about to bust.
He's on the coastline. He's looking for U-boat landing sites.
Yeah.
And he pulls out this drone, and he's going to capture footage of the beach. And he's like, this is the perfect landing spot for a U-boat. And I'm like, it doesn't look like it. It's like wide open. It's a beach. Like, how does a submarine even land on a beach?
I know nothing about submarines. So
it just doesn't seem like a place a submarine would go. I don't know. Anyway, so Tim Kennedy finishes capturing footage with his drone, and he pulls out his laptop, and he's looking through all the footage, and then he spots a little butthole on the map.
What?
Just a little butthole. It's well, he's got a image of the beach, and there's like this little black dot.
Okay.
It looks like a butthole. And so he drives over to that location because he wants to know what it is, and he finds
a butthole.
A well.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I guess the show is saying that, like, when Hitler landed on the beach in the submarine, that was, like, a well purposefully put there so he could get fresh water as soon as he landed.
Does the show not think that the people in Argentina also enjoy fresh water?
He's fleeing, Kristen. He can't just go into the 7-Eleven and be like, give me a glass of water, because the clerk's going to be like, you're Hitler.
I'm just saying, like, maybe the well could have been used by other people.
No, definitely not. It was for Hitler.
Okay.
Yeah, duh.
There was a sign up top. Hitler's water well.
Hitler's water well. No Jews.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. This show fucking sucks. Kristen, that was episode 3 of Hunting Hitler.
How many episodes do we have here? Because this is getting dumber and dumber by the minute. I mean, they're running out of steam.
Oh, we got a few more.
Oh, my God.
All right, we're back in Berlin. Lenny DePaul and Sasha Kyle, they're looking for those tunnels.
Sure.
So they bust out that lawnmower radar thing
yeah.
from the first episode, and they're scanning the ground between the subway station and the airport, and they find a tunnel 8 to 10 feet below the ground.
Okay.
Okay, Lenny DePaul's excited, and he proclaims, "We just connected the Tempelhof Airport to the Führer Bunker."
No, you didn't.
Yeah, you didn't. Okay, here's some information that you might find important, Kristen. Tempelhof Airport is no longer operational.
Okay.
In 2009, Berlin announced that the airport was becoming a huge public park, and it looks pretty nice.
All right.
So just from this information alone, I'm assuming there probably was a tunnel between the subway and the airport at one point.
That would make sense.
But when they closed the airport, they closed up that tunnel because they don't want people walking into an abandoned airport.
Sure.
Well, no, the Hunting Hitler team says, oh, no, that was actually a tunnel so Hitler could escape from the Tempelhof Airport. Local archivist Sasha Kyle, he's like, did you know Hitler had his own special plane? And it was called the Condor. And it had a range of 2,000 miles, had extra large fuel tanks, had armored seats, parachutes, a drink coupon. And it was at the Tempelhof Airport.
Oh, my God.
That's the plane he flew out of.
Bitch, let me tell you something.
Normie did his research. Fun fact about that plane he's talking about. It was destroyed in July of 1944
at
the Tempelhof Airport by an Allied bombing run.
Uh-oh.
You stupid assholes. Back in L.A., Bob Baer and John Sensich, they realized something. If Hitler left on this plane, he couldn't have flown to Argentina. It's way too far. But you know where he could have flown?
Where?
Spain.
Okay.
And admittedly, if I ignored all evidence and all facts and all logic,
mm-hmm.
this is where Hitler probably would have escaped to.
Yeah.
The dictator of Spain, Francisco Franco, he was an ally of Hitler's. He may have provided him safe harbor. Plus, it's in range of that aircraft, which was Hitler's only way out of Berlin. So Bob and John, they pull up these FBI documents, and they're searching, and they see this statement. It says, the United States Army is spending most of its efforts to locate Hitler in Spain. Hmm. Bob Baer goes, that's extraordinary. We think Hitler lived and got to Spain. It's not we heard rumors. It's just that they were out and looking for him.
What?
Yeah, no, Bob, sorry. These were investigations based on rumors because, again, the Soviets were claiming Hitler had escaped.
Sure.
And actually, if I recall, the Soviets said he went to Spain and that the Americans and British had to go find him. Yeah, so they're just investigating rumors of Hitler escaping.
Yes.
Also, this is how other Nazis escaped Argentina. They went through Spain. So it's natural, yeah, you would search in Spain for Hitler too. John Sensich pulls out another document, and it's from the OSS again. And it reads, quote, Hitler refused to involve Spain in the war because he has a promise of sanctuary there when Germany is defeated. Hmm.
Okay, so more of what we already know, which is that they're allies.
Yeah, well, guess where they got that statement from?
Oh, where?
It's that same OSS report from earlier where they wanted to spread rumors to turn the public against Hitler.
Oh.
That was another one of those rumors they wanted to spread.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Kristen, you might be wondering, why didn't Spain fight in World War II for the Axis powers? I thought Franco and Hitler were buddies.
Yeah, what about that?
There's a couple reasons. Spain had just fought a brutal civil war. They had no resources to fight.
Okay.
They relied heavily on U.S. imports. And so the Allies put tremendous pressure on Spain.
Oh, yeah.
You better not fucking side with the Axis powers or mm-hmm. your ass is grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was in Spain's best interest to remain neutral.
Okay.
Well, U.S. Marshal Lenny DePaul and Scarf Man Gerard Williams, they're going to Spain, baby. Woo! Specifically, they're going to Galicia. Francisco Franco had a summer home there, so they're going to go check it out.
Okay.
There's some debate about who owns that summer home. So after Francisco Franco's death, his family claimed it. And the government was like, well, he was kind of a dictator when he took that home. So uh-huh. I'm pretty sure the Spanish government owns it.
Yeah.
But either way, the property is closed to the public.
Okay.
So the Hunting Hitler team shows up at the gates. And they convince the guards that they're tourists and they just want to look around. We're just doing a little research. We just want to see what it looks like. And that worked, surprisingly. They let him in.
Okay.
Kristen, you know how good I am with descriptions. This summer home is a big castle-looking building.
I mean, that's good.
Is it good?
We know what a big castle looks like. We've all seen Disney World.
It's on this massive property.
Okay.
Okay. You know, the property's so big, a plane could land there.
Here we go. Okay.
And as they walk around the property, Gerard Williams tells Lenny DePaul, you know, I heard a rumor from 1945 that a German gardener started working here. Yeah. And he went by the name Addie Lupus. You know, Eva Braun used to call Hitler Addie as his nickname. And then Lupus is Latin for wolf, which was Hitler's nickname.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You really think Adolf Hitler, egomaniac, fucking lunatic, is going to go be a gardener?
Yeah, he's going to have his own buddy. HGTV show.
This is, again,
Homes where, with Hitler.
This is where we just completely ignore everything about his psychology, his...
Yeah, they think he's an evil Superman. This is part of that, right?
Okay, but this is, to me, this is a dumb twist on it.
Yeah.
So he's evil, he escapes somehow, he blah, 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 and then he's some dude's gardener.
Yeah, he has to hide. He has to pretend he's a gardener for now.
He's
to escape.
Rolling in the hyacinths.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Also, that job is like way beneath Hitler. There's no fucking way he's going to be like, okay, I'm a gardener now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He is an egomaniac. He couldn't handle no longer being the Führer.
Yeah.
That's why he killed himself.
Yep.
But we're saying, oh, no, he didn't kill himself. And instead, he's working down at the Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah, and trying to get his HGTV show off the ground.
Now that I
Homes with Hitler.
That would, you know.
Yeah, we're going to tear down this wall between the dining room and the living room. Open concept, yeah? Is that Hitler?
Nine.
No, I'm Addy Lupus. My name's Addy Lupus. Anyway, here's the hilarious part, Kristen. Those guards realize they're filming a TV show and they kick their asses out of Francisco Franco's summer home.
Oh, I bet they loved that, though, getting kicked out.
Oh, they loved it.
Oh, we're on to something. Yeah,
the cameras were all shaky. They're like,
what?
You need to leave. And the cameras are like,
yeah. Yeah, no, that just adds to the drama.
Okay, so they get kicked out. And so now they're going to look around the town for Nazi support.
Okay.
I don't know why they need proof of Nazi support in Spain. It was like pretty clear that Franco was an ally of Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Gerard Williams is like, well, most of the people who lived through World War II, they're all dead now.
Mm.
You're dead now. So they're going to go look in graveyards.
Okay. I am intrigued.
So they go to some old cemetery and they notice this wall. And it looks like newer construction. Hmm. And their translator is like, yeah, that wall was added like 30 years ago-ish.
Okay.
And then Lenny DePaul's like, wait a minute, there's an older wall behind it. And so they look between the old wall and the new wall, and you'll never guess what they see. An old gravestone with a huge swastika on it.
Wow. Yuck.
Yuck indeed. So to me, this says... Francisco Franco died in 1975, and the new government was like, we want nothing to do with those Nazis anymore. We don't want to be associated with them anymore. And so my guess is whoever owned that cemetery or ran that cemetery, they hid that old Nazi headstone.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's all that is
good
to me.
Good choice.
Yeah. They did surprisingly have the original photo of what it looked like. It was like some grand temple to like Nazi soldiers.
Who was
soldiers.
Buried there?
It didn't say.
Okay.
Back in L.A., Bob and John hear about this news, and they're stunned. Nazis buried in Spain? But I thought Spain was neutral during the war.
Give me a fucking break.
Yeah. Do they not remember that during the Spanish Civil War that the Germans fought for Francisco Franco's army? Whatever. Okay. So then the narrator says my favorite line of the whole show.
Okay.
I laughed so hard when he said this.
Despite confirming Nazi activity, Bob and John have yet to find direct evidence Hitler was in Spain.
Yeah. Oopsies.
Oh,
oops, fudge stripes.
Goodness.
We got nothing.
So it's like even the narrator's done with this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not so fast. Bob and John have a new plan, Kristen.
I'd love to hear it.
They're going to follow the money trail, because that'll show them where Hitler went. Follow the money.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they look at files from an old OSS investigation called Operation Safe Haven. I'll give you some context on this.
Okay.
So back in 1944, it looked like Germany was going to lose the war, and so the OSS wanted to track if the Nazis were hiding assets in neutral countries. So Germany might do this so they don't have to pay reparations, or even worse, they feared that they're going to try to keep Nazism going after the war.
Mm.
And the OSS found assets in several neutral countries: Switzerland, Sweden, Turkey, and Spain. Spain exported tungsten to the Germans during the war to make weapons.
And tungsten?
It's like a mineral.
Oh, okay.
To make like tanks and.
Gotcha. It's been a while since
tungsten.
I made a tank, so excuse me.
Yeah. Bob and John are like, this is incredible. It's not some bombshell, by the way. Like, the Allies knew that Spain was doing this.
Norm, let me tell you something. There are no bombshells in this show. I know that Bob and what's his name?
Bob and John.
Bob and John, their only job in this show is to go, what?
You're right.
That's basically their only job.
Yeah, basically.
Their profession is to be surprised.
Yes.
And they're doing a great job.
So the Allies knew Spain was exporting tungsten to Germany, and it was the whole focus of the Wolfram crisis during World War II. Wolfram is another word for tungsten, by the way.
Great.
So the Allies demanded that Spain stop exporting tungsten to Germany. And to help convince them, the U.S. put an embargo on oil to Spain. They restricted Spanish exports on cotton. And so Spain eventually agreed to reduce their tungsten exports to Germany. They kicked out German consulates and spies from the country. And any Spanish volunteers who were fighting for Germany, they had to come home.
All right.
Yes, believe it or not, there were Spanish volunteers fighting for Germany. So now the Hunting Hitler team is going to go to Vigo, Spain. It's a port town. That's where they exported all that tungsten.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back in Argentina. Remember that lady who claimed she saw a U-boat from her kitchen window?
Yes.
So Nazi hunter Steve Rombom and sexy MMA fighter Tim Kennedy, they're going to go to that location, and they want to know if this lady was lying or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your ass in the vehicle, lady.
So Steve Rombom says to himself,
get your ass in the vehicle.
Uh-huh.
And he gets in a boat. He goes out into the water.
Uh-huh.
Where that U-boat was allegedly spotted. And then Tim Kennedy goes to the house where that lady claimed she saw the U-boat.
Uh-huh.
She's dead now, but, like, it was the same house.
Wait, so he's just going to look out the window and see if you can see a boat in water?
Yes. He literally looks out and he's like,
this is the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
He was like, okay, yeah, I can see your boat.
All that means is that she can see a boat potentially from her house.
Yes. Well, it confirms it. She definitely saw a U-boat, Kristen.
Oh, my God.
So now Bob and John, they're convinced there's a U-boat in those waters, okay? And so they call a marine archaeologist named Joe Hoyt. Joe Hoyt is most well known for finding a German U-boat. He found the U-576. It was 30 miles from the shores of Cape Hatteras, North Carolina.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Shit. Okay.
So in July of 1942, the U-576 was destroyed after it sunk a cargo ship. All 45 crew members died, and they're still entombed in U-576 at the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
It's kind of creepy.
Well, yeah, it's super creepy.
So Joe Hoyt is a legit marine archaeologist, and shockingly, he is going to help the Hunting Hitler team look for a U-boat in Argentina, despite having no credible evidence that one was scuttled off the shores of Argentina.
Hey, if they're paying, like, okay, sure, I'll look for one.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, I'll look. Sure. Sure.
He arrives in Argentina. He joins up with MMA sexy boy Tim Kennedy. And they're going to search for this U-boat. So they go out on a boat and they're using like magnets and acoustic radar and all this shit to like search for submarines.
Uh-huh.
After 3 days, they don't find a damn thing. But on their way back to port, when you thought they had given up, a fish finder picks up something large underwater. And the boat turns around and then they look on the radar and they see something long and straight on the radar. And it's not a cock.
Stop, Norman.
One person on the boat yells, "That could be a U-boat!" What do they find? Stay tuned for the next exciting episode.
Oh, give me
of Hunting Hitler.
Okay, what the fuck is? It's a log, right, or some dumb shit?
Log rolls downstairs and over and pass and over your neighbor's dog.
It is a U-boat. It is a U-boat.
Okay, episode 5. I'm gonna kind of speed run through the rest of this.
Please do. This is ridiculous. This is so dumb.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. Getting fired up.
I'm sorry, Kristen.
It's not your fault.
I'm sorry, history hoes. Oh. Okay, so Tim Kennedy's going to go dive down in the ocean and explore that debris they found. Everyone's convinced they found a U-boat, and they encounter something. It's steel.
Okay.
And it's...
What?
An I-beam.
Oh.
Okay, so somebody just dumped an I-beam into the ocean or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because they cut to this radio guy on the boat and he says,
"So definitely not U-boat wreckage."
Yeah, so based on
team.
Yeah, so like just from his tone, I can tell he's like, this is so fucking stupid.
Of course.
But the divers keep searching and they find something else. Wait for it. It's more I-beams. They found like 4 I-beams.
Okay.
Oh, God.
If I had watched this show, and I went through that cliffhanger, and then it's just a bunch of beams,
bunch of I-beams,
I would be so pissed. I can't believe that people watched this show and were legit amazed. Although, I guess if you don't know the
story, it looks intriguing. Like they're pulling up credible shit. But that's why I'm here for the history hoes to tell them why this show is fucking fair to Shiza.
What's that mean?
Horseshit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Well, back in L.A., Bob and John, guess what, Kristen?
They're shocked.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yep.
My.
Yep. They're still convinced Hitler got to Spain, and then he left for Argentina on a U-boat.
Uh-huh.
But how did he do this undetected? I'll tell you, Kristen.
Oh,
He used rat lines.
What?
Oh, great. You're wondering what a rat line is.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a series of escape routes for Nazis to get out of Europe and escape to South America. One of their primary routes was through Spain. These rat lines were supported by, drumroll, the Catholic Church.
Oh, okay.
Shockingly, this might not be the worst thing the Catholic Church has ever done, Kristen.
Great.
So you might be wondering, why would the Catholic Church want to help Nazis? Because there's only one thing worse than Nazism, Kristen.
What's that?
Communism.
Oh.
Believe it or not, even the British and Americans got involved in ratline operations.
Really?
That's how the Americans got some of those Nazi scientists that were working on like secret weapons and shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Got them through the ratlines.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
I hate everything, including Hunting Hitler.
The International Red Cross was also involved in ratlines. Although it is unclear if they knew they were helping Nazi war criminals. So the Red Cross worked closely with the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church was helping displaced people after the war get home. And so the Red Cross would issue passports and the Catholic Church would like verify, yes, this is that person. Give them a passport.
Okay.
Future topic. It's kind of interesting.
It sounds horrifying. And yes, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So U.S. Marshal Lenny DePaul and Scarf Boy Gerard Williams, they're going to go to one of the largest monasteries in Spain. It's located in Samos. There's no doubt Nazis fled Europe through these monasteries.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hunting Hitler team is specifically trying to figure out if Hitler escaped through one. He didn't because he killed himself. But anyway, so a local historian is explaining the monastery to him.
Sure.
And he's like, yeah, Nazis came through here. And oh, yeah, some dude who worked here when he was like 15, mm-hmm. he saw Hitler.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
And it's so funny. Lenny DePaul's like, when was this?
Lenny DePaul's rock hard.
Yeah, it's like they somehow have a chance to still catch up to Hitler.
When was? Where is he? Yeah.
Where is he? And the historian's like, May of 1945.
You're just a little too late.
It's just a little too late. A little too wrong, and I can't wait. Yeah. Do you know that song is called Entry of the Gladiators?
I did not.
It's the most goofy-ass song in the world. I'd be embarrassed
Maybe
if I was a gladiator.
Maybe the name is sarcastic.
Walking out to that.
Could be sarcastic.
Here's the sexy, hunky man, Norman Caruso.
Oh, my.
Oh. After they learn this, Gerard Williams says the most ironic statement of all time.
Let's hear it.
You can't erase history. You can still see the imprint if you look really carefully. What we're here doing is looking really carefully.
This man is jerking off on national television.
Yeah.
To himself. This is disgusting.
Well, back in L.A., Bob and John, they're going to interview that witness who saw Hitler in the monastery. He is still alive.
Okay.
They pull him up on Skype. It is this super fucking old dude.
Of course.
Yeah. He looks like Gargamel from the Smurfs.
Okay.
Remember Gargamel?
Was that the old dude?
Gargamel. He was like the wizard guy and he was I'm going to get you, Smurfs.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
He looks like Gargamel but with a beard and a French beret.
Okay.
Okay. So the man claims he was building secret tunnels in the monastery and one of the Germans that was there was Hitler, but he had shaved his mustache off.
Mm-hmm.
So Bob and John ask Gargamel how Hitler got to the monastery. And Gargamel says Hitler came on a plane. It landed in a nearby potato field in this small town called Corneas. So this Gargamel character, he seems real suspicious to me, Kristen.
Well, yeah, he's somehow the only dude who saw Hitler.
So I did some digging on this guy, and you're not going to believe this. He's actually an evil wizard who is hell-bent on capturing these small blue creatures called Smurfs.
Wow. Incredible.
Okay, the man's name is actually Julio Rivas.
Okay.
He is a self-described sculptor, composer, writer, and historian.
Oh, he does it all.
Vice interviewed him back in 2014 about this Hitler sighting.
Yeah.
And Julio had some really interesting takes. He claimed, quote, people in Berlin and Russia know that Hitler and Eva were very unlikely to commit suicide one day after their wedding. Interesting.
Yeah, what?
He also claimed that Spanish dictator Francisco Franco, quote, needed to compensate them for their favors in times of war, so he kept Hitler's gold in Spain. Wow. This is all – I can't believe this. This is blowing my mind, Kristen.
Uh-huh.
According to Julio, Hitler flew from Berlin to Spain on April 29th, 1945. Incredible! And then he landed his plane in the village of Corneas, and then he rode a donkey to Samos and stayed at the monastery. And Eva Braun was with him.
Oh, now Eva's still here? And okay, that's great.
Apparently Eva's Spanish wasn't very good. The only thing she could say was, hola, ¿cómo estás, guapo?
Okay. So now we're adding in that she's calling him handsome. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. And then Julio proclaimed, I don't think anyone can refute my theory since I saw Hitler alive and kicking.
Okay, who else saw him, Julio?
No one.
Exactly. There we go.
Yeah. So then the writer of the Vice article, they went to Corneas to ask villagers about this plane.
Sure.
That landed.
Sure.
That Hitler was on, I guess. And one resident said, oh, yeah, a plane did land here. But that was like in 1950. Mm. And I think it just like ran out of fuel or something.
Well, that's inconvenient.
So this leads us to the actual story. In 1950, a plane in the Spanish Air Force ran out of fuel and had to make an emergency landing in Corneas in a potato field. And apparently it was a big event in this tiny town.
Well, yeah, that would be.
Yeah, because most people had never seen a plane before.
I mean, yeah, that'd be shocking.
And it was hilarious because the Air Force wasn't really sure how to get the plane out of the potato field because it was kind of on a slope. And so they couldn't just like take off.
Right.
And so the plane became a local tourist attraction for a couple years. And then the Air Force just came in and scrapped it for parts.
Yeah.
That's the actual story of a plane landing in Corneas. So it's pretty obvious that Gargamel is meshing that real story with this warped reality in his head.
Well, he took what was a pretty exciting story and made it like 1,000 times more exciting by adding Hitler and Ava.
This is way cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Well, Bob Baer, after this interview, he called Gargamel a, quote, fantastic witness.
Oh.
So now they're going to go to Corneas to verify that plane story.
Okay.
So Lenny DePaul and Gerard Williams are going to Corneas, and they meet these two little old men who come out of a shack, and they're like, yeah, we saw a plane. We were fishing in the river, and it flew over our heads. The plane didn't have any markings on it, and then like four or five soldiers came out of the plane. So I actually believe these cute little old men.
Sure.
Because that matches up perfectly with the story from 1950. Spanish Air Force, plane, emergency lands, soldiers come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That matches up perfectly. Who knows what else these guys said? The show only included their very general statements, so it made it seem like what they were saying was about Hitler. You know,
yeah.
It also matches up to the Hitler story.
Yeah, convenient.
But anyway, so I'm just going to skip this next part.
Okay.
As basically, Lenny DePaul gets some like 3D scanner and he like scans the field where the plane landed just to see. And it's just like, we know a plane landed there.
Yeah, that's not the part that's in dispute.
Okay. We're back in LA. And Bob and John realize
that Hitler's been dead the whole time.
Hitler killed himself. No. They realize that there's no way Hitler took a U-boat from Spain to Argentina. And I started getting excited when they started talking about this. I'm like, wait, are they about to admit they're wrong? You know, Spain to Argentina, 6,700 miles.
Uh-huh.
That's weeks on the ocean. Even for young military dudes, that was a tough journey. How the hell would Hitler survive that? Fair question, right?
Very fair.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So, great reason why Hitler arriving on submarine is total bullshit. Oh, but wait, they actually have a different conclusion from this. The answer is actually Hitler made a pit stop on the Canary Islands.
Any evidence of that?
No.
Okay, great.
So the Canary Islands are like 1,000 miles from Spain.
Uh-huh.
That's not really a halfway point to Argentina. He'd still have to go like 5,500 miles.
You take your pit stops where you can, sir.
I guess so. I mean, you learned a hard lesson about pit stops.
Norm, what are you talking
about? When you shat in a Bed Bath & Beyond bag and you refuse to stop.
Norm, this is a brand new podcast. Fresh history hosts have no idea what you're talking about, and I prefer to keep it that way.
Okay, fair
everyone,
enough.
The rumors that I was...
You're right, it's a rumor. FBI documents suggest...
Yeah, there's a rumor going around that one time I was in a car and I drank some weird tasting iced tea from McDonald's and I didn't stop drinking because I paid for it and I paid money for it, so therefore I have to consume the entire thing. And then my body told me, hey, you better stop and poop in a gas station bathroom. Then I saw the gas station bathroom, said, no way, I'm too good for this, kept driving, realized I'd made a huge mistake, and pooped in a Bed Bath & Beyond bag on the side of the road. And my dog cried the whole time. That's just a rumor, though. It's just a rumor.
FBI looked into it. No credible evidence.
Yeah.
They looked for that Bed Bath & Beyond bag for weeks. Couldn't find it. Well, so yeah, where was I? Okay, so Lenny DePaul and Gerard Williams, they're going to go to the Canary Islands. And
this show is dumb. I can't. This is so dumb. This is like when we tried to watch MILF Manor. And we mutually agreed this is too gross.
MILF Manor. Mm.
You know, at least in MILF Manor.
Yeah.
They're doing something. They're trying to get laid.
They're trying.
Yeah. And they just might. God bless them. They just might.
Yeah, they always end on a cliffhanger.
But these fuckers are acting like they're trying to find Hitler.
Yeah.
They know what happened to Hitler.
They definitely do.
This is like if MILF Manor was full of MILFs who didn't want to get boned.
Yeah.
It's all built on lies.
Complete and total celibacy. Okay.
How much longer? This is so
I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. We're almost done.
Oh, my God. I speak for all the history hoes when we say this is stupid.
I'm sorry, history hoes.
It's not your fault.
Yes, it is. I wrote the script.
Wait, no. It's not that I'm mad at your script. It's that I'm mad at this show.
Man, now you got me thinking about MILF Manor. I have a big crush on Crystal from MILF Manor.
You really do. We haven't made it through a full episode, have we? Have we done two?
We've done like two episodes of MILF Manor season two is what we're watching.
Yeah.
That's when the dads and sons are there.
It's
disgusting.
It really grosses me out. But yeah, you do have a crush on Crystal.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
Apologies.
To who?
Kristen has a huge crush on the head coach of the Detroit Lions, Dan Campbell.
I do. We watched, what was it, Hard Knocks last season?
Hard Knocks did Detroit Lions a couple years ago,
yeah,
which featured Dan Campbell a lot.
I was quite taken by him.
She sure was.
And now they have the show Receiver on Netflix.
He pops up every now and then.
Yeah, he pops up. And maybe I enjoy it when he pops up on my screen.
You do.
And maybe Norm gets a little jealous and then he starts talking about MILF Manor and Crystal.
Yeah, but when Dan Campbell pops up on the screen, you go, oh, my God.
That was involuntary.
Oh, my apologies. I don't want
to. That's just how a woman reacts to seeing Dan Campbell.
You're right. I don't want to shame you.
Thank you.
You be you.
What is it about Crystal that draws you in?
Crystal is beautiful.
Yeah, first of all, Crystal's very beautiful.
Beautiful, strong, sexy, independent, and she doesn't take shit from anybody. I am into it.
I think that's the part you like the best.
I do.
As a non-threatening boy, you like a woman who's a little threatening.
I do. You know what Paula Abdul said? Opposites attract, and you know it.
Oh boy, it ain't friction,
just a natural vibe.
Yeah, I really hadn't thought about that before. That yeah, it's because you're non-threatening that you kind of like a woman who doesn't take a lot of shit, but does take shits in Bed Bath & Beyond bags, allegedly.
You got it. You want? Can we finish this up?
I'm
sorry.
Please, my
God. I'm really sorry. Okay, so Lenny DePaul and Gerard Williams are on the Canary Islands now.
Yeah.
And out pops.
I'm an old man.
Another old man. This is a repeating thing on the show. An old man appears. And he goes, oh, my family owned one of the largest German businesses on the Canary Islands. And yeah, U-boats came in all the time and we repaired them and we fixed them and we resupplied them.
Mm-hmm.
And we even had an Enigma machine to communicate with the Germans, blah, blah, blah.
Are you implying that the man died as he was saying this?
Yes, he's dead.
He just keeled over.
I'm done trying to debunk these witnesses because they'll just say whatever the fuck.
And sure.
They have zero evidence to back up anything
right.
They say. Okay. So I guess they're going to go look at some tunnels in the Canary Islands that resupplied the U-boats. I looked into this. There's no truth to any of this, that there were U-boat bases on the Canary Islands. It's been rumored forever. It's never been proven. Also, this U-boat base they're looking at, it's like a mile from the coast.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, wouldn't a U-boat base be on the water so the U-boat can just like pull right up and get the Cheez-Its and, you know, fresh
it's
water.
It's an emergency. We're all out of Cheez-Its. Norm, you look like a shell of a man right now.
Do you realize what I've been through?
I am starting to get a taste of it. And like, I feel like this whole week you and I have been talking about like, well, how much coverage should this show get? And I was kind of like, hey, this is fun. Like, cover as much as you can. But now that I'm actually hearing how stupid it gets.
Yeah.
And how it's basically just they cherry pick stuff. Or in some cases, just
straight lie.
Just straight up lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find some attention whore old man. I'm sorry. And then the result is that a bunch of people watch this show and we're like, wow, wow.
Wow, Hitler didn't kill himself. He escaped.
Oh, my
gosh. I know because I watched Hunting Hitler on the History Channel.
And we can trust it because it was on the History
Channel. That's right.
I mean, I do understand why you got so fed up with this.
Yeah. We're almost done here. Okay. Episode 6 of Hunting Hitler.
Norm. Norm, has your slightly caffeinated crystal light worn off?
I'm fading fast.
I can tell.
Okay. Lenny DePaul and Gerard Williams, they're still on the Canary Islands.
It's like you don't even care about their scarf choices or anything.
No. They're going to go check out this villa of a German man who lived on the island. His name was Gustav Winter.
Okay.
So during the war, Gustav Winter was suspected of being a, quote, obnoxious German.
Wait, not a Nazi. An obnoxious
German.
Okay.
So I guess somebody who could possibly cause some trouble for the Allied war effort.
Sure.
And it's simply because he was a German man running a successful company in Spanish territory. And so U.S. intelligence thought that could be a front for hiding Nazi assets.
Sure. Okay.
Gustav Winter was cleared of any wrongdoing. But that does not stop the show from calling him a, quote, known Nazi.
Oh, wow.
Gustav Winter had been living in Spain since 1913, before the First World War. He was not a member of the Nazi Party.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up.
It is.
What's that face for?
I'm just so sick of this show, that's all.
Everyone, he's kind of smiling at me, but in a way that I can't really read. Oh, God.
Okay. So Gustav Winter's house is high up on the coast of the Canary Islands. It's very isolated. One road in, one road out. It has a basement with a lot of rooms.
You mean a bunker?
A vast underground establishment.
Uh-huh.
There's a tower with a light in it, maybe to guide U-boats on the shore.
Mm. Mm.
And then there's a large fence around the property. It's almost as if Gustav Winter was trying to hide somebody.
I mean, we also have a fence.
Well.
And a basement.
Who are we hiding? Whereas there's a Bigfoot behind you. They've been looking for him up in Canada, eh?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, so for years, conspiracy theorists have claimed that Gustav Winter's house was a Nazi hideout.
Mm-hmm.
There's zero truth to that. The house didn't even start getting built until 1946.
Well, any fact that is slightly inconvenient to this narrative,
yeah,
we ignore. So please don't mention that again.
Well, how about this? If it was built in 1946, how could Hitler have stayed there in May of 1945?
Again, please don't mention anything that's inconvenient or goes against the narrative.
The house wasn't finished until 1954. It was built for agricultural farming, not hiding Nazi war criminals.
Sounds like something the Nazi war criminals would want you to believe, Norm.
Hmm. Also, the current owner of the house is a man named Pedro Fumero. He is perfectly okay with these Nazi hideout rumors, probably because it attracts a lot of attention to his house.
Okay.
I'd love to read you some excerpts from his website. Are you ready for this?
Oh, my God, yes. Wait, has he made it like a tourist attraction?
I believe so. 10 long years have passed since Pedro Fumero moved into the Winters house. His determination to continue investigating has cost him close relationships, the distancing of his family and friends, and the incomprehension of many people. Considered crazy by many and valiant by others,
okay.
One thing is clear, thanks to his dedicated and strong-willed attitude.
He wrote this about himself.
Yes. He has been able to revive and bring to light a great piece of Canarian history with worldwide implications that cannot remain forgotten. In the face of all the difficulties, Pedro has decided he will reach the end no matter what it takes.
Okay, you know what, Norm? I'm going to turn our house into a bed and breakfast.
Ooh.
And I'm going to make our own website, of course.
Yeah.
And the website will be... The two sexiest people to have ever lived.
Us?
Bravely only. Yeah, we're writing our own shit. We can make anything up. We've lost so many friends over this, but gained a few as well.
Mm-hmm.
In our brave quest to tell the truth. Okay, so what would be a great... all the paintings that are missing from the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, they're in our house. You just have to pay.
Oh, yeah.
Come to the bed and breakfast.
Yeah, we've got them.
I'll make you some of my world-famous cooking. It's,
yep.
As soon as you walk through the door, you are greeted with a ramekin of cottage cheese and a side of Ruffles potato chips.
Yep, a Crystal Light flavor of your choice.
Well, unless they want raspberry lemonade, because that's mine. I'm not sharing.
A bowl of Cheez-It snapped.
Uh-huh. And we regale them with stories about how great we are and how brave we are and how... All of these paintings we have here are the real deal, definitely not shit we bought off eBay.
So Gustav Winter's children, they are so sick of these rumors.
Well, yeah, that'd be horrible.
They made their own website that has tons of documentation and photos, actual evidence that disproves these Nazi hideout claims.
This would be so fucking frustrating. Yeah.
I mean, it was even frustrating when I was researching this. Like, it took me a while to find the Gustav Winter family website.
Sure.
Because most of the internet is like, it was a Nazi hideout.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that makes no sense. So the show's new theory, Hitler escaped Berlin via plane. He went to Spain, took a U-boat from Spain to the Canary Islands to rest up and resupply, get some more Cheez-Its.
Yep.
And then he went from the Canary Islands to Argentina, and then he landed at San Antonio Oestes. But Bob and John want to know, where did he go next?
Oh, my God. He didn't go anywhere because he was super dead. Like, super duper
He's not just dead. He's super dead. I mean, kind of. His body was burned and blown to bits. And
yes!
All we have is his teeth.
All we've got is his teeth, except... Don't ask the Hunting Hitler folks about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't even mention it. Where did Hitler go next? And they think he went to Bariloche.
Why?
Because that's where other Nazis went.
Okay.
Which is true.
Yes, yes. There's always a little truth.
Mm-hmm. And I actually have a fascinating story about some of those Nazis.
Okay.
I might make it a future topic, but I'm going to mention it here.
Okay.
Okay, so in 1994, ABC News... did an investigation on Nazis hiding in Bariloche. And it was based on a book written by a local historian in Bariloche. You know I love me some local historians.
You do.
So ABC reporter Sam Donaldson went to Bariloche with a camera crew, and they found and confronted a former Nazi. His name was Reinhard Kops.
Holy shit.
Kops was not accused of any war crimes, but he was known to assist Nazis who wanted to flee to Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious because Kops was confronted and he was basically like, no, I'm not Reinhard Kops, but I used to be Reinhard Kops.
What?
And then he goes, I don't even know why you're coming after me. There are way worse Nazis living in Bariloche. You should be looking at this other guy. His name's Erich Priebke.
Oh, my God.
Erich Priebke was an SS officer who commanded a unit in Italy during the war. they massacred 335 Italian civilians.
Oh, wow.
And then after the war, he fled to Argentina. So Reinhard Kops told ABC News where they could find Priebke.
Sure.
And he was working as the headmaster of a German school.
Ew, shut up.
So literally 4 hours later, Sam Donaldson finds Eric Priebke and confronts him on camera. And Eric Priebke is like, yep, that's me. I was a Nazi. Yep, I committed all those atrocities, but I was just following orders.
Oh, God, of course.
So days later, Priebke was arrested. He was extradited to Italy. The legal battle lasted 4 years.
Wow.
He was eventually given life imprisonment, but due to his age, he was placed under house arrest.
Oh.
He died in 2013.
He's a fucking Nazi.
He's old, though. Kristen.
I'm an old man.
You know, in the U.S. of A., we...
What?
We lock you up for every ding-dang diddle you ever did. And I, on the one hand, I don't like that about us, but then I hear a story like this and I'm like, come on!
Well, he died in 2013 at the age of 100. Okay, future topic?
So he could have definitely been locked up. The dude was fine, lived to 103. Yeah.
I also heard a story that he was granted access to leave his apartment so he could work for his lawyer at his office. And the Italians, like, flipped the fuck out. And they're like, what? No.
Yeah, he's living his life is what's happening.
Yeah. Anyway.
You know what I was really hoping was going to happen with that story? Is like, they go to the first guy, and he's like, yeah, that's me, but there's an even worse Nazi. Then they go to the second guy. Yeah, that's me, but there's even a worse Nazi. And it just keeps going.
It's just a chain.
Yes.
Until they find Hitler.
Yeah. And that's the end of hunting Hitler.
Oh, you found me.
Oh.
I'm 135. All right. Back to this stupid show.
Okay.
They go to Bariloche, and scarf-loving Gerard Williams talks to a local architectural expert. And this guy says, there's a place in Bariloche called the Inalco House. It's a creepy lake house, and there's rumors that the Nazis were hiding there.
Okay.
The house was once owned by Jorge Antonio. He was the head of Mercedes-Benz in Argentina.
Ew. Okay.
And he employed runaway Nazi Adolf Eichmann. Ew. And he apparently knew his true identity.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Interesting, in 2018, a Travel Channel show called Expedition Unknown, they used a metal detector on the Inalco House property, and they found remnants of a Nazi coin.
Mm.
So there's definitely some evidence there was some Nazi activity at that house.
Sure, sure.
The architectural expert warns Gerard Williams that the house is very hard to get to.
Okay.
You can only get to it by boat. However, a simple Google search by Normie C revealed that is not true. Google Maps clearly shows a road right next to the house.
Well, that's inconvenient for a show. All right.
But go ahead.
I was going to say, but they fire up the pontoon. Okay, what
do
we got?
Wow, you know this show so well. Hilariously, yes, the Hunting Hitler team decides to approach the house by boat.
Yep. Maximum drama! Was his scarf flapping in the wind?
He wasn't on the boat. That guy's not getting on the boat, but sexy MMA fighter Tim Kennedy got in the boat. Oh. He got on a full body suit, and he's going to sneak to the shore using islands as cover.
What do you mean a full body suit?
Like a full body swimsuit, a diver suit. I don't know.
Like a little scuba suit?
Sure, scuba
suit. Adorable. Okay.
Yeah. By the way, the house is abandoned. No one lives there.
Mm.
There's really no reason to be so secretive about all this. But yeah, so Tim Kennedy gets on the shore and he's snapping photos like James Bond.
Yeah, you got to be really careful. Mm-hmm. There are super old Nazis there.
Yeah. But then, what's this? There's somebody walking along the shore.
Oh, my
God. Get down, Tim. Get down. Which he does. He like.
Of course he does. My God.
I don't know who that man was. It could have just been some dude going for a walk.
It was absolutely some dude going for a walk.
So after the guy leaves the scene.
Yeah.
Tim Kennedy dives back in the water. He goes back to his boat. Back in LA, Bob and John, they pull up architectural blueprints of the lake house because they want to study all the buildings and whatnot.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, because I'm looking at the blueprints and they don't match the lake house at all.
What do you mean?
I discovered these fucking idiots are looking at the wrong blueprints. So literally just a little bit north of this lake house.
Yeah.
Is another property.
Uh-huh. And they're looking at the blueprints for that property.
Yes. It's a ranch. It's like a farming ranch.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's part of the lake house, but yeah, they're studying the wrong blueprints. And they're like, oh my God, I wonder what that building was for. I wonder what that was for. And look, it's not even on the property anymore. So they must have destroyed it to hide the evidence.
Oh my God.
So they thought it's like a secret guest house to hide Adolf Hitler.
Do you think they really think this, or do you think they are knowingly making this up?
I don't know, but I will tell you this.
Okay.
At that moment when I discovered they were looking at the wrong blueprints, I gave up watching Hunting Hitler.
Fair enough.
That is where I am ending this episode.
Yes.
I cannot take it anymore.
Uh-huh.
I'm done. I am tired. Hopefully I have sufficiently proved this show is bullshit.
Yeah. No, you have. You have. You've done a very
nice job.
Kristen,
look at what the show has done to me. I'm evil Norm now. Look at this.
You think that because you have slightly different facial hair from when we started this series that you are now evil Norm?
Yep.
You're going to have to back this up with some evil deeds, darling. Although I guess telling us about Hunting Hitler kind of against our will.
This was a
pretty evil.
Torturous episode for everybody.
It really was. I was not prepared for how fucking stupid this was going to be.
Yeah. I'm ready to move on with my life.
Okay.
I have a little soapbox I want to get on.
Please do.
Shame! On the History Channel. Shame! On Bob Baer. Shame! On Dr. John Sensich. And finally, shame! On anyone who participated in this farce of a show.
Well, I'm sure some people participated not knowing how stupid it was going to be.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll just say shame on the main guys that were on
this
show.
Yes, the people who were running the show, for sure.
History Hoes, I hope this series on the death of Adolf Hitler has been enlightening. And I hope this information I have presented can allow you to confidently tell your tinfoil hat-wearing friends that Adolf Hitler killed himself. I'd like to end this series with something historian Luke Daly Groves wrote in his book, Hitler's Death, The Case Against Conspiracy. I think it sums up the whole thing perfectly.
Okay.
A British Foreign Office official wrote in October of 1945, "I think the onus is now not on His Majesty's government to prove that Hitler is dead, but on Hitler to prove that he is alive." The onus has been on Hitler for over 70 years. It is certain beyond all reasonable doubt that he committed suicide on April 30th, 1945. The end.
Very well done, Norm. Norm, I've got to say, I really loved all the episodes you did leading up to, you know, leading up to Hitler's death, his actual death, the investigations. That was all fascinating. I loved last week's episode because that was like, it felt like you were really debunking something. This episode, infuriating. I totally understand why you have been a shell of a man for these past few weeks.
Now you see why every morning for breakfast I eat a bowl of Cheez-Its snapped.
Because you yourself have snapped. There's something exhausting about debunking a show that's not being done in good faith.
Yeah.
It's the same way as arguing with someone who's not engaging in a good faith argument.
Yep.
It's exhausting. Some might argue pointless. I don't think it is pointless, though, because so many people believe these conspiracy theories. So I really do think you've done the Lord's work here. I don't envy you a bit, though.
I admit I had a ton of fun researching this series.
Yeah.
And honestly, so like when I decided, okay, I'm going to debunk Hunting Hitler.
Yeah.
I just thought this will kind of be a breeze. I'm just going to go through Hunting Hitler and find. And then like I just kept encountering, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right. And it became like exhausting.
Yeah.
Debunking this show. And the sad part was no one has ever debunked that show like completely.
Yeah.
I've seen plenty of like message board posts or just blog posts that are just like, yeah, Hunting Hitler sucks and it's full of shit.
Yeah.
But I've never seen anybody like go through the show and be like, this is why this is wrong.
Yes.
This is why this is wrong. If I were a braver man, I would make a 10-hour YouTube series debunking this show.
Yeah.
For the people.
You've done the brave thing. You've done it here.
Yeah. But I'm saying I'm going to upload it to my Game and Historian YouTube channel.
Do it. Do it.
People would be so confused.
They would.
What the fuck?
You just start out every episode, just add in something like Nintendo and then go into the Hitler stuff.
Mm. And say, as I sat there playing my Super Nintendo, I wondered, is hunting Hitler full of shit? Let's dive into it.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yes, the series is over. Sorry to be a teasy boy at the beginning of the episode.
You were so coy. I didn't understand where this was going, but I get you now. Yeah. I appreciate it very much. Mm-hmm. Norm, you've done a great job.
Thank you. I wonder what we'll learn next week. A new series begins.
Yeah, it does. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's Kristen's turn. Normie C's on break. Now I'm going to start researching something else. As long as it's not hunting Hitler, I'll be happy.
I think we all will, darling.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody.
No, don't be sorry. Like, this was really fun to listen to. Mm-hmm. It's really fun to not be the person doing all the research and getting all frustrated.
That's true.
I'm telling you, it's true.
Okay.
So we appreciate it. Hats off to you, Normie C. We hope there's a big bowl of Cheez-It snapped in your future.
I might reward myself with some right after we finish recording. Should we wrap it up?
Yeah. You know what they say about history hoes? We always cite our sources.
That's right. For this episode, I got my information from The Last Days of Hitler, The Legends, The Evidence, The Truth by Anton Joachimsthaler, Hitler's Death, The Case Against Conspiracy by Luke Daly Groves, The Hitler Files on the FBI Vault's website, and from the 2015 History Channel show, Hunting Hitler.
That's all for this episode. Thank you for listening to an old-timey podcast.
Please give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. And while you're at it, subscribe. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/oldtimeypodcast. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok at oldtimeypodcast. And please follow us individually on Instagram. She is the beautiful Kristen Pitts Caruso. I am the non-threatening gaming historian. And until next time, toodaloo, ta-ta, and cheerio.
Goodbye now.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
July 4th member-only doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, rewards members save $50 on a select Charbroil 4-burner gas grill, now just $149. Plus, save over $500 on a Whirlpool top-load laundry pair, now $886. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, these July 4th doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/7 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.